think it's safe to say, as we welcome you back into the 5 o'clock hour of the Burns and Gambo Show, the number one thing people wanted to hear from Monty Williams today during his introductory press conference wasn't his plans for the offense. It wasn't how he's going to change the culture of the Phoenix Suns.
Why did you take this job?
That was it. Why did you take this job?
You took the Phoenix Suns job, dude. Why?
Given all the perception, everything that's been said, everything that's been written about the owner of this organization, what did he say to you to convince you to settle down here? What did he say? What did he do? What was the conversation?
Because it had to get there. As good as James Jones is, and I think James Jones is going to be a very good GM. I really do. And James is setting the culture of this organization, and he's laying the groundwork, and he's changing things. But you still have to get to Robert, and you have to be, okay, you could sell me on everything, but I need to know that this guy is he wants to win. I need to know. Before I commit to taking this, I don't want to be set up to fail. Nobody wants to be set up to fail. And unfortunately, that happens a lot. You're set up to fail.
Yes.
He needed to make sure he wasn't being set up to fail. So no matter everything that James told him, and James has a great reputation in this league, he still needed to hear it from the top in order to take the job.
We had said when Monty Williams was interviewing for the job that it's just as much Monty Williams interviewing Robert as it is Robert interviewing Monty Williams.
Right.
And Monty Williams basically confirmed that today during his press conference. And I'll play that soundbite in a second. But first, what you need to hear is this. You need to hear Monty Williams on Bickley and Murata today talking about how the final push came from who else? But Jerry Colangelo.
The craziest, you know, most fans would be kind of weirded out a little bit just based on the history. But Mr. Colangelo was the guy that really pushed me to work for Mr. Sarver. And that said a lot because most people would think that they don't get along. And that's contrary to what the reality is.
I don't know if most people would think that they don't get along, but...
Oh, if I would have done a poll yesterday, do you think Robert Sarver and Jerry Colangelo get it wrong. 90% of the people would
Okay, you know
no.
what? When you phrase the question that way, then yes.
Jordan, am I right here?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah,
90%.
You're right. Okay,
you would have thought there was friction. You would have thought there was bad blood. You would have thought, when I never see Jerry around? How many games I go to? I never see Jerry. I see Cotton Fitzsimmons' wife, Joanne. I don't see Jerry at the games. So you would have thought that there was some type of friction. This kind of changes that perception a little bit, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Or maybe a lot.
It changes it a lot. It changes it a lot because it lets, not that anybody ever doubted that Jerry still cares about the Suns. He obviously cares very deeply about the Suns, but it proves that Jerry Colangelo cares about a Robert Sarver owned Phoenix Suns team to the point where, hey, I'm willing to vouch for this guy, Monty. I'm willing to say, no, you should go there. You should go coach for that man. You should go coach that organization.
That's clout. That guy carries some clout.
I'm vouching for him. And I'm vouching for the organization. You should go coach. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
That's like
that guy has the metal card.
Yeah. It's like election season, and when you get that guy endorsing you, you're going to get a lot of votes that way. You're going to get a lot of votes when so and so has just endorsed me to be the next president of the United States, or the next mayor of Gilbert, or the next whatever it is that I'm running for.
I thought you were the mayor of Gilbert.
No, I am not the mayor. You're the mayor of Ahwatukee. I'm just the guy who lives in Gilbert. You know, very, very, the trash guy doesn't even know my name, for goodness sakes. he has no idea.
You know why doesn't? Because you don't tip him.
I'm supposed to tip him?
Yes.
This is new?
You West Coast.
I'm supposed to tip the trash guy?
I've never heard of tipping the trash guy.
Okay. Krista has brought him out cookies before around Christmas, like a plate full of cookies.
Do you tip the mailman?
Tip the mailman? I don't even know who my mailman is.
Oh, my goodness. Oh,
Percy, you just be thankful that you're getting your trash taken out in any mail delivery.
I'm supposed to tip the... Am I supposed to tip the mailman?
All right,
I never see the mailman. I don't have a mailbox. It's down the street with 50 other mailboxes.
I'm going to make this quick so we can move on. I'm going to keep this within a minute. In New York, where we grew up, you had a certain amount. Like, when the leaves would fall, you had to bag all your rake everything and bag it. There was a limit. They were only supposed to take, like, four bags. But on certain days, man, when the leaves all came down, you'd have 15 bags there. If you tip that guy at Christmas time, just Christmas time, if you tip that guy at Christmas time, you could have 30 bags out there. They were taking them all.
As long as you tip
the
him
mailman,
at Christmas time.
The mailman is not supposed to deliver mail to your mailbox. We had mailboxes outside, private mailbox, except, you know, little mailboxes, not this thing with like 10 people at once. Now, when the snow came, the mailman wasn't going to walk through the snow to put mail if you didn't shovel out a path for him. But if you tipped him, if you tipped him at Christmas time, you gave him $20, he'd walk right through the snow and put the mail in your mailbox. Now, the guys that didn't tip, they didn't get their mail. And the garbage, and if you didn't tip the garbage man, if you had 14 bags out there, they would take 4 and leave you 10. That's what they would do.
Life lessons from John Gambadoro, ladies and gentlemen. In the meantime, Monty Williams today. And thank you for that life advice. I do appreciate that. I know I need to
give
tip
$20 to your mailman. You'll be surprised that you'll get all your mail all the time. Never be a problem.
Monty Williams today. Yes. We basically interviewed each other for this job.
In my conversations with Mr. Sarver, I saw someone who didn't duck the tough questions. We both had tough questions for each other. And in this day and age where people throw each other under the bus, make excuses,
Magic Johnson,
blame, I didn't see that. I saw a man who really wants to bring success to this city. And I mean that with all of my heart, or I wouldn't have come. James and I are a lot alike in that we just want to do the right things. And I saw that with Mr. Sarver.
Or I wouldn't have come.
I wouldn't have come.
I think it's the key
come.
Phrase from that soundbite.
That's because I didn't need
or
to
I
come.
Wouldn't have come.
Yeah, because I have options.
Yep.
I have options.
I didn't need this.
Yeah. I could have stayed in Philly for one more year and been one of the top candidates next year. I was going to get a job. I would have waited for a better job if this wasn't the right one.
Now, if you're being a cynic about the Suns, and you've earned the right to be a cynic about the Suns, I'm not going to take that away from you. You might say to yourself, oh, that's just Robert telling Monty Williams what he wanted to hear. And I could see why you'd think that. But with the Jerry Colangelo endorsement, with Jerry Colangelo pushing him to take the job.
The craziest, you know, most fans would be kind of weirded out a little bit just based on the history. But Mr. Colangelo was the guy that really pushed me to work for Mr. Sarver. And that said a lot because most people would think that they don't get along. And that's contrary to what the reality is.
That
that's
endorsement fantastic. Tells me that that wasn't just Robert telling Monty what he wanted to hear. The fact that Jerry Colangelo was pushing Monty to take this job, it means it was not Robert just telling Monty what he wanted to hear to make sure he got the job. I'm telling you, as a forever Suns fan, I can't tell you how big of a development that is to me.
Well, a shocking development.
Stunning.
Stunned.
A lot of what Monty Williams said today, even the stuff about Robert, I expected him to say. I never expected in a million years to find out that Jerry Colangelo pushed him to take this job. Shocker. Stunned. I was blown away when I heard that. Blown away.
Yeah, me too. I just thought all along that if the relationship had to be soured, because I never see Jerry there. But Jerry's got a lot of things going on
sure.
with GCU and with Philadelphia when he was at the 76ers. Like,
NBA Hall of Fame.
NBA Hall of Fame. Yeah, Jerry's always had so many things going on. So I didn't expect that either. But it's good to hear. I mean, as a Suns fan, it is good to hear. You like to hear that the previous owner and the new owner are on the same page.
More Monty Williams. What he needed to change about himself was something he talked about as well.
When I first started coaching in New Orleans, I thought I had the answers. I was a lot younger, probably more brash, more stubborn. Now I'm just starting to figure out the questions, if that makes sense. And I'm probably in a place in my life where I'm more apt to listen and delegate more.
It was really good to hear him say, too, he's learned the difference between teaching a player and embarrassing a player. Like if you call a player out, if you try to correct a player, he thinks he's learned the difference between teaching him without embarrassing him, you know? Because a player doesn't want to be embarrassed. So how do you teach, how do you develop without embarrassing a guy?
Well, you learn from your lessons. I mean, Monty's been around a little bit. He's got experience. And that's what Igor's getting, got an interview with Memphis. I don't know if he's going to get the job or not. But the next chance he gets to be a head coach, he'll have learned from this experience.
Right.
And Monty's got some things that he did, and he said he's made mistakes, and he's learned from him, and he'll be a better coach this time around.
Phoenix Suns introduced their new head coach today. That has not stopped them from being linked to some of the biggest names in the NBA and some of the most ludicrous suggestions perhaps you've heard in some time. You'll hear them all coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. Anthony Davis? Chris Paul? All the Sun stories I was looking for today when we were getting ready for the show.
Why not just LeBron?
Sure, why not?
I mean,
why stop? Why stop
Jimmy Butler?
Get him.
You know what? Why does just how about Durant too?
Just link the Suns.
I mean, just
Kawhi Leonard.
Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah. I mean, really? Durant.
You know whose fault this is? I'm going to totally blame Ramona Shelburne on this.
Mm-hmm.
She started it a week ago.
Yeah, Ramona.
Week and a half ago. I know you're listening, Ramona. I know you are. She started it a week and a half ago when she had that blasphemous, crazy talk about the Suns and Kyrie Irving maybe being a thing. And now all of a sudden, it's just this avalanche of, oh, yeah, the Suns totally make sense for Anthony Davis. Really? They do? Oh, yeah, the Suns and Chris Paul, they're just dumb enough to maybe swing a trade for Chris Paul. They are? Really? That has been, and I want to make it sound like everybody nationally, but I did come across a couple stories, and I forwarded them to you. One was a story I saw on AZ Central, and it wasn't AZ Central saying it. It was just kind of a collection of people like SB Nation, NewJersey.com, FanSided. There's another SB Nation story suggesting that the Suns could be a potential landing spot in an Anthony Davis trade, to the point where one website, it was NJ.com, their NBA writer, Zach Rosenblatt, suggested the Suns could get Anthony Davis and Solomon Hill for TJ Warren, Josh Jackson, Tyler Johnson, DeAnthony Melton, and the number 6 overall pick. I mean,
I got some swampland in Jersey to sell that guy.
Seriously.
The New Jersey guy. I got some swampland. It's going to be great. Right near East Rutherford. You'll love it. You want to buy it?
We get the craziest trade ideas from listeners. We're like, I think the Suns should trade every single part they don't want or need and go get the best player in the league for them. That's kind of like what this is.
Okay, right. Okay, this is stupid. Okay, this is asinine. There's no chance this is going to happen. There's been no conversations between Phoenix and New Orleans about Anthony Davis. None. Okay, I've checked with both teams. There's no conversations with either one of these for Anthony Davis. And that trade is ridiculous, by the way. It's ridiculous. And New Orleans isn't getting anything.
Oh, no.
There's no trade that's going to go down between New Orleans and Phoenix.
Ridiculous is laughing at how ridiculous this trade
right.
is. Okay?
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
Ridiculous is like, oh, hey. You thought we were ridiculous. Oh, my God. Did you see that trade on NJ.com?
Tyler Johnson for $19 million and the 6th pick in the draft. And you get a 6th.
Thanks,
you got a 6th man in TJ Warren. Oh, what about DeAnthony Melton, who might be out of the league next year?
Right.
Like, this, Josh Jackson is ridiculous. I mean, that's just so stupid. It is ridiculous. It's not going to happen. There's been no talks between the two teams. So that's just, you got to come up with something stronger than that. You're not trading Anthony Davis for a pile of garbage.
Yeah, SB Nation. Anthony Davis to the Suns, it makes more sense than you think. No, it doesn't.
Yeah, no, it doesn't.
NJ.com. Thank you.
It makes more sense. Yeah, no, it doesn't.
I'll be here all day.
Thank you.
NJ.com. Yeah. This potential Suns trade with the Pelicans makes sense. No, it doesn't.
What's NJ stand for? No juice?
Suns can fan-sided. Suns connection to Dave Griffin could help in Pelicans trade. No, it won't.
That's fan unsided after that column right there. Fan unsided.
SB Nation, Suns could acquire Lonzo Ball in Anthony Davis trade. Now, that one, I paused that for a second.
I'll pause.
But based off of how you're describing what the Suns' vision of their backcourt is,
he doesn't necessarily fit.
I don't think Lonzo fits it.
No, I'm telling you what they want. Now, what you want and what you end up with sometimes are different things, okay? The want is a combo guard.
Brother, truer words have never been said.
Exactly. But I say now, don't settle. Go for the gut. Go be happy, Bertie. Don't settle.
Thank you.
Do what you got to do.
Gambo's dispensing all sorts of
exactly. Things. Just go
tip your mailman, tip your garbage guy, and don't settle.
Wait, we got a garage, right? Didn't we?
That's right. Yeah, we got let's pull them up real quick.
Ahead, right
from Coyote Garage Doors at Burns and Gambo.
Coyote Garage Doors.
Yes. As Gambo's garage door guy, I can verify that Gambo tips very well, and then the emoji with the stars in the eyes.
There you go.
That's how he looks at you, Gambo.
come out. I say you work at my house.
Were you like Leota in Goodfellas? I mean, like you were just everybody when right? You remember when he's
walking into the Coca Cabana?
Walking into the Coca Cabana with Lorraine Bracco for the first time, and he's literally tipping every single person he comes in contact with.
You. Yeah, because
that is you, right?
That is me. Okay, so I just had my backyard redone, right? Completely redone.
Uh-huh.
So every day I go out and I buy those guys lunch. What do you want today? What do you want for lunch? I'm going to buy you lunch. So every day I buy those guys lunch. It's like four or five workers. What do you want? You want pizza today? You want Subway? What do you want? I buy you lunch. So I go get them lunch. And here's my feeling. I don't know if you agree with me. My feeling is they're going to do a better job for me. I'm going to treat you with respect. I'm going to make sure that you have plenty of water. What do you want to drink? I'm going to treat you with respect. You're working on my house, and I'm going to go buy you lunch every day. And my feeling is you're going to put a little extra effort in. You're not going to cut corners to get the hell out of there because I'm a good guy, because I'm actually treating you with the respect that you deserve. You're working hard. You deserve the respect. That's
Jordan, has that's he ever bought you lunch?
Gambo has bought me lunch numerous times.
Yeah.
Oh,
yes.
So I'm the only one. That's good.
Yeah.
That's nice.
No, Sarah. No, we've never bought you lunch, but our lunch, we used to go out to a lot of lunches here, and we've kind of cut back on it. I don't know why.
You've been on vacation the whole year.
Well, not only that, you just owe Gambo so many lunches.
Nobody wants to go to lunch because you guys got to pay.
That's a good point. Maybe we need to pick it up a little bit, but we need to buy you some lunches, too.
People work at your house. If you buy them lunch, you do something. Like I just always felt that they'll do a better job for you.
I take cash tips as well, in case you're wondering.
The Chris Paul rumors, we'll keep that in mind. Thank you, Sarah. The Chris Paul rumors. And I hesitate to call them rumors. It was more of a suggestion. Zach Lowe. No, it really was. It was more of a suggestion. Zach Lowe doesn't think they should, but suggested they could.
What can the Rockets do? Was a popular topic at the Combine, too. And like, okay, so Zach, or whoever, where can you trade Chris Paul? Is anyone going to take Chris Paul? And the two answers that were common were, one, are if the Lakers strike out and everyone, can LeBron trick the Lakers into trading for Chris Paul against their own long-term viability? Two, Phoenix.
But he added, are the Suns stupid enough to do something like
my
that?
My universal response was, if Phoenix is so dumb as to trade anything of value for Chris Paul, Chris Paul's a great player. He's just in his mid-30s, declining in constant risk of leg injuries, on a team that
crossed the $40 million a year barrier between 20 and the 2020.
Making an enormous amount of money for a team that is miles away from doing anything significant. And everyone's response was, Zach, you're talking about the Suns. Are you really sure they wouldn't do it?
So let's think about this. It's a rumor based off of the presumed stupidity of the Phoenix Suns organization.
Yes.
That's the sole basis of that rumor. We just assume they're stupid enough to go try and do something like that.
But here's our new motto. We're no longer stupid. That's our new motto for the Suns.
So
we're no longer stupid.
Somebody put that on a billboard somewhere.
We're no longer stupid. No Hakeem Warwick. No Josh Childress. No Hadeu Turkoglu. No Tyson Chandler. Woo-hoo! No Trevor Ariza. We're no longer idiots. We're not dumb anymore. That's our son's motto. I want to get a shirt. Phoenix Suns, we're no longer stupid. Like the arrow pointing. Stupid somebody else. Chris Paul came into this league in like 2004. Come on, man. Come on.
And Chris Paul, all right, they mentioned it in the podcast briefly. Chris Paul, 2019-2020, is going to make $38 million.
Oh,
Chris Paul,
God,
in 2020-21 is going to make $41 million. Chris Paul in 21-22 is going to make $44 million. Chris Paul has about $120-something million dollars left on his contract. The Suns might be dumb. They're not that
We're
dumb.
We're not that dumb anymore.
We're not that dumb.
Yeah.
Okay, you can accuse us. You can accuse the Suns of being dumb in the past. They're not that dumb. Look,
we Suns executives used to walk around. One guy had dumb and the other had dumber on his shirt. That's how they would walk around, dumb, dumber.
Nobody's, and the arrows were pointing in the wrong direction.
Well, I just, as long as smart and smarter.
As long as nobody's putting any goats in anybody's office. That's all we're asking. Because the whole goats in the office thing, okay, that was kind of dumb. We admit it. That was not the brightest thing in the world to do. We admit that.
As a goat owner, like, I kind of got to get out of
it. Baby steps before we say, this organization's brilliant.
Well, I'm not saying brilliant. I'm not saying brilliant. Just not dumb enough. Look, if you're going to do that, then please, by all means, go get Mike Conley. Please. I'd much rather have Mike Conley and 2 years left on that deal than Chris Paul with 3 years left on that.
Of course.
I mean, and I know they're not going to get Mike Conley. You've said that over and over and over again.
Yeah, listen, there's no chance that they're going to get Mike Conley. Mike Conley is not an option with 2 years left on his deal at almost $65 million. And Chris Paul is not an option with that many years left at that age. It's just again, the Suns aren't that organization anymore that are going to make stupid deals.
Can I promote this?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm going to pull a little surprise. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, we're pretty sure we're going to be joined by Jerry Colangelo, who gave the tacit endorsement to Monty Williams for him to go work for Robert Sarver. We're pretty sure that's going to happen.
Yeah, just
sorry, Jordan, is just springing it on you here, but we think that's going to happen next on the Burns and Gambo show. We certainly appreciate him joining us on short notice. I say short notice. I know Gambo's been working on this for some time. But joining us right now in the Culture Automotive Group sports line, a legend when it comes to the Valley sports scene, and it's good to have him back on the show. It's been a while since we have talked to Jerry Colangelo as he joins us here on the Culture Automotive Group sports line. Jerry, good to hear you. How are you doing today? Thanks for coming on.
I'm doing fine, and good to hear your voice again.
Yeah, good to have you here. Want to play a soundbite for you if we can. This is from Monty Williams. He was on Bickley and Murata today, and he was just introduced today as the head coach of the Suns. He said this about you.
The craziest, you know, most fans would be kind of weirded out a little bit just based on the history, but Mr. Colangelo was the guy that really pushed me to work for Mr. Sarver, and that said a lot, because most people would think that they don't get along, and that's contrary to what the reality is.
And that is the fascinating part. You had a conversation with Monty Williams and encouraged him to take the job here with Phoenix. Tell us how that came about, Jerry.
Well, you know, I had a chance to really get to know Monty through the USA basketball experience, and when you're with someone almost 24/7 for a month and a half, you know, 2 summers in a row, you get to know each other pretty well. We had private time together. More importantly, I had a chance to really watch his work ethic on the court, physically, in the boardroom, if you will, studying videotape, his insatiable appetite for information. He sat there with guys like Coach K and Coach Boeheim, et cetera, just taking notes, learning, acting like a sponge. So at the end of the day, when you take a guy of great character, which he is, he's as good as they come, who has that kind of a background as a player who had incredible adversity that he overcame. Everyone knows that story now about his heart condition and told he would never play again. And then his coaching record and what he did. A good example is what he did specifically with Anthony Davis in helping him develop his game. I thought he was a perfect guy to take over this franchise, because as much as anyone, I want to see the Suns succeed. So when Monty called me and he said, "Mr. C, what do you think?" We started some dialogue, and it led to him being selected the coach. I did hear from Robert Sarver. I was in Europe, and I hadn't heard from him in a long time. And he asked me what I cared to share with him about Monty. And I said, he's the whole package. He's the perfect package. And the next day they met, and I got a nice message from Robert saying, "Thank you. He's our guy. He will be the next coach."
Wow. Jerry, that's fascinating. The input that you had to help Monty accept this job. I know a lot of fans are very grateful that you helped in a small way. The perception had always been that there was some friction between you and Robert, that you guys weren't on the best of terms. We don't see you at the arena a whole lot. I know you're very busy. Was that perception true, or was it, or is that false?
Well, I'm not speaking for Robert. I can only speak for myself. I never had any issue whatsoever with Robert Sarver. And you know, in terms of you have to ask him that question yourself, Gambo, to get the kind of response one way or the other. But you know, I've never had any hard feelings whatsoever. Why would I? No, there's no justification from my perspective.
So it was easy for you. Jerry Colangelo joining us here on the Burns and Gambo show. It's almost like you were endorsing Monty Williams for the Suns, and you were endorsing the Suns for Monty Williams. I'm not suggesting you brokered the deal, but it speaks very clearly to how strongly you feel about both of these things, the Suns and Monty Williams, and how they should be together.
Absolutely. You're 100% right. That's exactly how I feel. And so, you know, it was, in my opinion, that's I couldn't be happier with the result. I really couldn't be. And, you know, I just hope everyone, and I want to say this in an inclusive way, understands what's happened in the past in terms of involvement from, you know, ownership, management, to the coach. You know, let's put it this way. I always had my own philosophy about letting people operate and do the job they had to do and give people the opportunity to fail if they had to or if they needed to or if they could learn from those failures. So given the right frame of reference and giving Monty the opportunity to coach and do his thing, I think everything would work out extremely well.
Jerry Colangelo, our guest here on the Burns and Gambo show. I read some comments from you a couple weeks ago after the Monty Williams announcement was first known about the clouds parting a little bit for the Suns organization. Tell me why you feel that way, to give Suns fans kind of that belief and that hope that things truly are about to get better around here.
Well, this was before the lottery.
Yeah.
And yeah. I was obviously, you know, hopeful that the lottery would be very positive. It didn't happen the way, you know, anyone wanted it to happen here in Phoenix. And it is what it is. But there's some good young talent. Again, knowing what I believe Monty can do in terms of creating a culture. No one's been able to really create a culture for a number of years here because there's been too much turnover. You can't create anything unless you're given it time to be created. And everyone knows that we had a culture in Phoenix for a long, long time, for decades. And so give him a chance to create it. He'll do a heck of a job. There's some good young talent. Maybe go out and get a free agent or two and keep building now. That's what's important. Forget the past. Move forward. You've got a good man to run the ship.
Jerry, culture is something we talk about so much. In your words, define that for me. What defines a culture with an organization? How do you build that?
Well, you have standards. You know, what we've talked about most recently in my world in terms of USA basketball is we have gold standards. We have things we believe in, stand for. Players know what they are. They're reminded almost daily on daily meetings. You know, I'll give you some examples. Players show up for camp. The door's closed. There's a team meeting. You know, things are said like, I hope you left your egos at the door. because from now on, it's about us. It's about USA basketball. It's not about you. You know, even in our case on the uniforms, the players' names were reduced and USA was increased. And so there's reminders all over the place about who we are, what we stand for, how we're going to go about this, and we're in it together. So over a period of time, that starts to sink in. And so where does it start? It starts at the top, and then people have to assume their responsibilities and enforce that culture, and it continues to evolve. It's not a magic formula, but there has to be trust. I mean, the key word here is that people trust one another and believe in one another. It can't be, you know, me, myself, and I. That doesn't work anymore.
Do you believe, based on your knowledge of Monty Williams and the time you spent with him, that this was absolutely the best hire the Phoenix Suns could have made?
Well, I don't know what other, you know, what other options they were even considering. I mean, except what I read, you know, in the newspaper. I'm just saying to you, it doesn't matter who else was out there. I think he was a tremendous choice.
Jerry, we appreciate the time, especially on short notice. We appreciate the candor, as always. Good to hear your voice again. We haven't talked in a long time. Thanks for coming on for a few minutes.
All right, guys.
Greatly appreciate it.
Take care.
Thank you,
bye-bye.
Jerry.
Jerry Colangelo joining us, Coulter Automotive Group Sportsline, Coulter Cadillac, Buick, GMC, Nissan, and Infiniti. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, wow, we'll react to that. The best endorsement either the organization or the coach could have gotten. And they both got it from one guy. That's next here on the Burns and Gambo show. The whole conversation started when Monty Williams, after his introductory press conference today, went on the Bickley and Murata show. During his introductory press conference, he talked about the give-and-take conversation that he had with Robert Sarver. They both interviewed each other, basically, and he acknowledged that. But something he didn't acknowledge during the press conference, he did with Bickley and Murata, and that is that Jerry Colangelo himself advised Monty Williams to go work for the Suns.
Craziest, you know, most fans would be kind of weirded out a little bit just based on the history, but Mr. Colangelo was the guy that really pushed me to work for Mr. Sarver, and that said a lot, because most people would think that they don't get along, and that's contrary to what the reality is.
So Jerry told the story to us moments ago.
I did hear from Robert Sarver. I was in Europe, and I hadn't heard from him in a long time, and he asked me what I cared to share with him about Monty, and I said he's the whole package. He's the perfect package. And the next day they met, and I got a nice message from Robert saying thank you. He's our guy. He will he will be the next coach.
Look, the working assumption.
I am absolutely fascinated by that conversation.
So am I, because the working assumption is that, yeah, of course he would recommend Monty Williams to the Suns, but would Jerry Colangelo recommend the Suns to Monty Williams?
Right.
The operating assumption would be, given the turmoil and the crazy nature of the organization, that maybe he wouldn't.
This might be one of the biggest turning points of anything we've ever discussed with the Phoenix Suns. And we'll get more into it tomorrow. I promise you we will. The relationship repair between Jerry Colangelo and Robert Sarver. And I know he commented on that.
Got it right
here.
Can I play it here?
This is fascinating.
I'm not speaking for Robert. I can only speak for myself. I never had any issue whatsoever with Robert Sarver. And, you know, in terms of, you have to ask him that question yourself, Gambo, to get the kind of response one way or the other. But, you know, I've never had any hard feelings whatsoever. Why would I? No, there's no justification from my perspective.
Yeah, I mean, no hard feelings, but
nobody ever knew. Jerry wasn't around. You didn't see him there. Nobody, you didn't talk about him much.
Yeah.
I mean, he just wasn't around as much. He was doing other things. And there was this perception that maybe Jerry was frustrated with all the losing and all the lack of stability. Maybe he was. I mean, maybe he was. But he never had a problem with Robert. Like he's allowed to make his own mistakes. And I always let people make their own mistakes. But he's excited. Like, Jerry wants the Suns to do well. And he wants Robert to do well. And he can work with Robert. If Robert needs him, he'll work with him. If he doesn't, hey, Robert needed Jerry this time around. And Jerry was there for him.
Sure.
So Robert reached out to Jerry. Hey, you know what? You know this guy really well. I want to give a lot of credit to Robert Sarver here. A lot of credit. Picked up the phone, called Jerry Colangelo. What is your, you know this guy. What's your feeling on him?
Yeah.
So this shows you that Robert did homework outside of just taking the advice of James Jones and Jeff Bowers, right? I'm going to do some extra homework. I'm going to call Jerry Colangelo. He knows him well.
Who got to know him from USA Basketball and went on and told us a moment ago that Monty Williams is perfect for the Phoenix Suns.
I thought he was a perfect, perfect guy to take over this franchise because as much as anyone, I want to see the Suns succeed. So when Monty called me and he said, Mr. C, what do you think? We started some dialogue, and it led to him being selected to coach.
I guess I just didn't think that Jerry Colangelo would recommend the Phoenix Suns to a guy like Monty Williams. Not necessarily because of Robert, okay? But let's be honest, the Phoenix Suns haven't been... It's like recommending a restaurant to a friend. They haven't been serving the best food the last few years,
or
right?
Recommending your friend who's a little bit of a head case and a nut job for a job. You can't, right?
Right, you can't.
You ever have that friend?
Oh, dude,
can you help me? I can't recommend you because I don't believe in you.
It's going to reflect on me.
Right, it's going to reflect on me, and I know you're going to lose this job.
If I go to my bosses and say, oh, you should totally hire Joe, even though I think Joe's a little bit of a nutbag,
you can't.
I can't do that because they're going to come to me and say, yeah, Joe is a total nutbag. Why'd you recommend him to us? It's the same thing. I didn't think the Suns, like a restaurant with bad service and terrible food, I didn't think the Suns were worthy of a recommendation. But Jerry's love of the Suns and Jerry's respect for Monty Williams. And I asked him that, and he goes, yeah, I love them both. I think they're the perfect fit for each other.
I'm so fascinated right now.
Yeah.
I mean, I am the fact that Robert reached out to Jerry, extended, and that olive branch, whatever, was extended. I want your help. I want your advice. I want to hear what you have to say. And then Jerry explained it. Okay, he's my guy. You convinced me. He's my guy. Obviously, James Jones was recommended. I'm sure Jeff Bowers was too. But then Robert reaching out to Jerry. Boy, this is like the best news. Like, everybody's all happy together. Like, just one big happy family.
What a happy day.
Yay. Let's group hug.
Yay, Phoenix.
Can I read you a listener tweet that perfectly sums up this moment?
Go ahead.
From @DesertGlory. Okay, Robert Sarver, I'm ready for you to hurt me again.
See, that's... No, don't think that way.
No.
Don't think
turn
that way.
The corner.
It's funny. Yeah, his heart is ready.
It's easy to fall into that. Try not to think that way. Time for the Coors Light. What's on tonight? The games we're going to watch this evening. Milwaukee and Toronto tied 27-27 2 minutes ago in the first quarter.
To the Burns and Gamble podcast is what I was going
to... Well, you got a 30-minute edition of the Rundown with Luke Lipinski coming up next. We've also got D-backs baseball tonight taking on the San Diego Padres. So a lot to watch tonight. Much more tomorrow about this. Also from Cardinals OTAs today, David Johnson and Larry Fitzgerald were back in the house today.
I always like when those guys show up just a little bit. We talked about yesterday. Just be there a little bit.
There was no media availability, but some of the photos taken from practice today, Fitz was back, David Johnson was back today. We'll talk about that tomorrow. We're out of here. Luke Lipinski is next. We'll see you tomorrow at 2 o'clock here on the Burns and Gambo
Show. Have a good night, everyone.